Okay, reading from Driver Dharma, Chapter 6. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, Chudamani, I understand. Now, please tell me what you think about the Brahmanas. Omagana Timanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Daksur Amulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Amano Vishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Pancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Vipashindu Vayevacha Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, this is the novel by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jiva Dharma, literally meaning the Dharma. Dharma means the duty. Duty also means nature, because your duty is based on your nature. So it's really, who are we? And really, what is our duty based on who we are? And the way the book develops is that there is a story, it's kind of a novel of devotees coming to the Krishna consciousness movement, the generation after Lord Chaitanya. And as I explained many times, according to who the person is, people have different doubts, and therefore they require the understanding of different subjects of Krishna consciousness to clear their doubts. And a lot of times that the subject they require is based on who they are. If they're a smart Brahmin or in a Brahmin family, they have to understand the subject of anakarya, what makes one qualified for Krishna consciousness. If one is a materialist, then they have to understand it off the body. So many subjects are covered, and actually Jiva Dharma, this book Jiva Dharma, is actually the perfect book. It's almost a textbook of, it's brilliant by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's a textbook of Krishna consciousness written in the form of the novel, because as these different people are coming to Krishna consciousness and these great sages are enlightening them, you're actually, it's so structured that you're systematically learning all the tattvas or subjects of Krishna consciousness. So, what we're studying right now is, and we've been doing this for a while, is an elderly Brahmin joins Krishna consciousness and becomes purified, and his family very alarmed at what this would do to their reputation, because, you know, the identification with the body. We're not the body, we're consciousness, and according to the false ego, according to our karma, funnels the consciousness to conform to a particular type of body. We're not the body, it's just that the consciousness is somehow shaped in a way that it fits this particular body, to identify with this particular body. But the consciousness very easily can identify with the family or a nation, so that your happiness and distress is not just based upon how you do, it's based upon how your extended identification does. And therefore, sometimes in family life, when someone misrepresents the family, it causes great embarrassment. So they send the family, the father's name is Lahadi Mahasai, and the family is two sons of their mother. They said it's a younger son named Devi Das, who is logician. He wants to bring his father home, and we're the part where he's actually kind of living near the ashram and trying to convince his father. And he seems to be kind of understanding a little bit about the integrity of the decision father made, until some descendants of the Chankazi, who is a Muslim who was enlightened by Lord Chaitanya, come. Now, they're still Muslim, but by Lord Chaitanya's grace, they're able to now see bhakti through the Quran. Prabhupada always said, he who loves God, his religion is perfect. So, real religion is not the faith. It's the surrender to God. And different religions may present that and may present principles to help you get to that. Because although the goal is Krishna consciousness, to pursue that goal, there must be certain kind of social and occupational organization that facilitates one's occupational and mental peace. So, over the time, religion begins to present it in various cultural ways to accommodate the frame of reference of different people. But one who is enlightened can see the essence of each religion, can actually see beyond all the rituals and formalities and practices and conceptions. Somewhere in there, it's all pointing that we're part of God and we're meant to serve God, and that the highest platform of the purest platform of the soul and the greatest selflessness and the highest expression of love is to surrender to reality, which is God. So these Muslims come to pay respect, and the enlightened Vaishnava is there, can see that they're actually also Vaishnava. Someone yesterday was telling, I know this yoga teacher from Kuwait, was telling about her mother, a grandmother, who just all day long just prays. She's Catholic. So I see that as a devotee, surrendered to God, and I honor it. I don't see it as different, even though the cultural presentation may be. But in that kind of culture, when they see these Vaishnavas intimately associating with these Muslims, even though it's on a spiritual platform, he really, his name is David Das, he really has a hard time understanding this, how people from, in that type of society, Muslims are outcasts, how the outcasts be given spiritual status, And he's so upset about this that he brings one of the Brahmin scholars, and they challenge Vaishnava. And we're up to the part of the debate where Vaishnav Das, who's representing the Vaishnavas, really wants to make a clear distinction that there's one qualification by karma, Sukriti, and on the path of karma and Gyan, that karma Sukriti, that piety of your works, and Gyana Sukriti, the cultivation of your knowledge, is your qualification. And that leads to a certain birth. But for bhakti, the qualification is a completely different Sukriti. It's the Sukriti of Shraddha, or faith, trust in the service of God. And that trust can take root despite one's karma Sukriti. And therefore, even in a Muslim. So this is a huge, huge point. If you imagine it's 500 years ago. Whether one can be elevated despite one's karma or birth. So these subjects were discussed very, very thoroughly. And Chudamani now is asking, so what do you think about the Brahmins? Because you're saying that it's not karma sukriti. It doesn't depend on one's karma. One's even situation materially. It's a type of faith that comes from associating with the people of bhakti and the activities of bhakti. And it's a kind of benefit that one gets, which is nitya, eternal, not naimittika or temporary, where karma sukriti is very, very temporary. It can change. Well, bhakti sukriti is some kind of qualification that embeds itself in the soul. So this Chudamani, he's really trying to either defeat this point or understand this point. So he continues now. Now he says, well, okay, now tell me about the Brahmins, because he's a Brahmin, and Brahmins are so respected in society. Well, what is their Sukriti? It seems like they're at the pinnacle of the society and that they're most qualified. He's thinking spiritually. See, so Vaishnava says there are two types of Brahmins. Brahmins by nature, swabhav siddhi, and Brahmins by birth alone. So in the Bhagavad Gita, it says, chatur vanyamaya shrishtam guna karma vibhagasa. That there are four, chatur vanyamaya shrishtam guna karma. And it's ultimately determined your spiritual position, your social elevation in society is ultimately determined by your guna, the qualities you have in karma and the work that you're doing. Now, of course, there's a correlation between the birth you take, because it's according to your past deeds and desires that you take birth, and if you're born in an aristocratic Brahmin family, it says something. The birth alone says something about the quality of the person born. Because even if your qualification is determined by your association, look at the association you're going to get. But still, there are two types of Brahmins. There's no doubt about it. We see in the Krishna consciousness movement, people born outside the Vanashram system, and we meet many, many people that are very, very highly elevated. They're not born in Brahmani families, they're not even born in Kshatriya families, not even born Vaishya families, not even born in Sudra families. Technically, by this system, they're born in the families of Yamanas and Mleches. So he says there are two types, so it's clear. Those who are Brahmins by nature should be respected by adherents of all philosophical systems because they are practically Vaishnavas. Those who are only Brahmins by birth are given conventional respect by everyone. And this is also improved by the Vaishnavas. The conclusion of the Shastra on this topic is expressed in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.10. So, both types of Brahmins are respected, but the one who has the Svabhav, and he could be born in a Brahmin family or not be born in a Brahmin family, but one who has the Svabhav, the nature, he's practically really evolved. And then there's this verse, and it's very, very important. Vibrad Tvishad Guna Yatad Aravindanabha. A devotee who was born in a family of dog eaters, but who has dedicated his mind, words, activities, and wealth at the lotus feet of Krishna, is superior to a Brahmin who has all 12 brahminical qualities. But who is averse to the lotus feet of Srihari, whose navel is shaped like a lotus. Such a bhakta can purify himself and his whole family, while the Brahmin, who is puffed up with false prestige, cannot even purify himself. This is my opinion. So what does a devotee mean? A devotee means, you see, what's elevation in spiritual life? It's overcoming ego. Because ego is the false ego. The conception that I am the center and I have some status and I'm meant to be served. And I see things as objects for me and my objective of happiness is conforming the world to my desire. So, a devotee means the opposite. A devotee in heart means that he's humble. He legitimately recognizes that he's part of something much greater than himself and he's meant for service. The whole identity of devotee means I am the servant of God. And material consciousness means I am the center, and spiritual consciousness means I'm meant to serve the center. So if you're not a devotee, even if you have so many good qualities, they won't be good qualities because they'll be appropriated by the false ego. Your austerity will make you proud. Your knowledge will make you proud. Your cleanliness will make you proud. Your peacefulness will make you proud. And therefore, a person who has all good qualities, but those qualities are used for his own self-aggrandizement, then he has no realization of spiritual life, which means to serve and to love. And therefore, such a person can't help anyone. But if a person really has the identity, I'm the servant of the center, even if he doesn't have good qualities, and I'm saying this, I'm meeting people in the Krishna consciousness movement sometimes, who by karma have abominable situations. But somehow or other, if that invokes humility, they can help you. It's just like in Alcoholics Anonymous. The first principle in Alcoholics Anonymous is, you know, that you're helpless. And the second principle is, there's a power higher than yourself. So even that person is an alcoholic. By that one factor alone of embracing and acknowledging one's weaknesses and acknowledging the objective of God, then already, even if that person's in an abominable position, like the prostitutes of Dvorka, that's what their work was. There's something about their consciousness. Hyrule, come on. What's that? Oh, you listen? Okay, just then keep the door open, because just you can sit over here. Good. 1 second. Have you been listening so far? Okay. Okay, you don't know this story. Anyway, I'll just tell you. You can open the light too, baby. Okay? I think it's over here. No, it's not. How about this? Okay, that's good. Okay. Greetings from the Acharyas, Nanda Dulal, Savitri. So, it's a very interesting section. I'm just going to repeat it for my audience. There's this is a novel by Bhaktivinoda Thakur describing the story of people coming to Krishna consciousness after Lord Chaitanya. And right now what's happening is there's one aristocratic Brahmin has become a devotee and his family becomes alarmed. So they sent the son to kind of talk him out of it. And the son sees the father and the Vaishnavas relating to these Muslims. They're descendants of Chankazi, but they're actually Vaishnavas, but through the culture of Islam, because they met Lord Chaitanya. They didn't change their culture. They understood it more deeply. So he becomes so upset, his son, that he brings one of the Brahmins from Navadvipa to debate the Vaishnavas on whether the qualification for spiritual life is birth, or is it one's nature? So now, this Brahmin asks, well, what about the Brahmins? And then he explains Vaishnav docs. He's debating with him. Vaishnav says, you can be a Brahmin by your nature or your birth. But really, it's your qualities and your work. And now he's quoting a verse where he says, Vaishnav docs quoting a verse, that even if a person is born in a family of dog eaters, if he's a devotee, if he's humble, he understands I should be the servant of the center. And even if he has so many bad qualities, because he has that feeling of humility that there's something higher than myself I should serve, then he can purify others. And if one is a Brahmin with all 12 brahminical qualities, but they feed his false ego, then even that person has good qualities, he can't help anyone. He can't even purify himself. So he's trying to show that really spiritual qualification is actually a little bit different than karmic qualification. This is all based on a core principle of humility, which is that's what a devotee is. That there's something higher than myself that I should serve, and I'm very fallen and weak and helpless. But I acknowledge this is the goal, and I'm praying for that mercy to actually advance further. Hey, keep the door open. Alex, what were you doing?
He asked me to close the door.
Okay, close it then. Okay. That way it's kosher. Okay. So, say now he's, so Chudamani says, Sudras are not eligible to study the Vedas. So can a Sudra study the Vedas when he becomes a Vaishnava? Because from the karmic viewpoint alone, from karma sukriti, a sudra, from karma sukriti, he doesn't have much qualification. And he's not in the mode of goodness, so he really can't study the Vedas. Vaishnav das, from the absolute point of view, when one becomes a pure Vaishnav, he automatically attains the status of a Brahmin. Whatever one's caste may belong to. Kiva Vipa, Kiva Nasi, Kena Sudahoye, Krishna Veta Tatsase. Kiva Vipa, Kiva Nasi, Kena. It doesn't matter what you are. If you know the Tatsa, the subject of Krishna, then you can be a guru. Because Vedaista Sadaham Eva Vedyo Vedanta Ved Veda Ved, of all the Vedas I am to be known. Krishna says, the Vedas are divided into two sections, instructions regarding the performance of karma, prescribed duties, and instructions regarding tattva, the absolute truth. Those who are qualified as Brahmins in a worldly sense are eligible to study the Vedas that promote karma, and those who are Brahmins by spiritual qualification are qualified to study the Vedas that promote tattva. So, if it's just all these rituals and technicalities that require so much Sanskrit knowledge and the proper pronunciation and all these things, then those that are Brahmins, you know, by their karma, then they're eligible. But if it's actually understanding tattva, or the philosophy, or the essence, then those who have spiritual qualification can do that. Pure Vaishnavas can study and teach the Vedas that promote spiritual truth, no matter what caste they're born in, and it's practically observed that they do so. In the Brihadaranyaka Upanishads, it says, Eva Dhiro Vigyaya Pragyam Kurvita Brahmana. A Brahmana is a sober and spiritually enlightened person who clearly knows Parabrahman and serves him through Prem Bhakti, which is the manifestation of the highest knowledge. Because in Bhakti, there's no real material qualification. You don't have to be austere. You don't have to be learned. You don't have to have developed intelligence. You just have to surrender to God. Therefore, Prabhupada says that the process of bhakti, I quote this many times, the process is simple, the application is difficult. The process is simple because anyone can do it. Right? But the application is difficult because it takes humility. And we're here in the world for recognition and to center ourselves. And therefore, humility, that the fact that you're willing to accept that there's something greater than yourself. It's not material. It's a spiritual qualification. It's a qualification of the heart, of the soul. So here it says that if you have that qualification, and we can see, even in Dwarka, look, there were prostitutes in Dwarka that were devotees. It's not so young children can be devotees, Palad Maharaj in the womb. One of the factors of devotional service, one of the qualifications of devotional service is that it's universally applicable. It doesn't matter caste, doesn't matter gender. All you have to do is put your head on the floor. All you have to do is fold your hand. All you have to do is open your heart and do humble service. He's going to quote all these verses. Because the whole point was, are these Muslims qualified? They may not have the karma, But if they, if whatever your situation is, you surrender, because you can have an impersonalist that's completely disciplined, completely austere, but has no love in his heart. So he quotes another verse. O Gargi, he who quits the world without knowing the supreme imperishable Vishnu is a wretched miser. Where he who quits this world knowing the supreme being, one who quits this world without knowing the supreme imperishable Vishnu is a miser. He who quits this world knowing the supreme being is recognized as a Brahmin. Manu has said the following in regards to those who are Brahmin by Yavarika, or social considerations. Manuspriti, a Brahmin Kshatriya Vaishnav becomes twice born by investiture with the sacred thread, and this prepares him for studying the Vedas. If a Dvija fails to study the Vedas after receiving the sacred thread, and instead studies other subjects such as economics, science, or logic, he and his family members quickly become degraded in this life to the status of Sudras. So they may, you see that, you may have someone very elevated Brahmin, right? And he's so, he has all these good qualities, but he goes and he studies engineering. Or he goes and becomes a businessman. Then he's not a Brahmin. Because the Brahmin is by guna karma, it's by his qualities and work. And the Svetha Shvetana Upanishads explains the eligibility to study the Vedas. Yasya deve parabhaktya yata deve tatagaro. One who has implicit faith in the Supreme Lord and the Spiritual Master, all the imports of the Vedas are understood. This is very interesting. Why? Because the Vedas are about one thing. It's about getting rid of this self-centered ego. That's what the Vedas are about. Getting rid of this self-centered ego. So to understand that, you have to put yourself in a certain position to do that. So one has faith in the spiritual master, faith in God. In other words, what is that faith? That trust and faith in the glory of being a humble servant. Being part of something greater, that kind of faith, that satir by Kutta, that the right situation is that God is superior. When you put yourself in that position, then you will see that in the Vedas. You will understand the import, the essence of the Vedas. And we see that. There are sometimes people that know all the verses, are very, very learned, but they're proud of their learning. And they're proud. They read the Vedas, and all their knowledge just makes them more and more proud. Where real knowledge is like the fruits of a tree. It should make you bend. So you can study to get more power, or you can study to transform yourself. So that you're more loving and humble. So that's what he's saying here. This is a famous verse from the Svetha Shvetana. If one has faith in Guru and faith in Krishna, you will understand the Vedas. That's why it says, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Piyojita Janya Dasubhayagam. That when you have Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Piyojita, that when you perform devotion, automatically, very quickly, jnana and vairagya come. Because when you perform devotion, you're acting on the greatest principle of renunciation, which is you're surrendered to God. So when you have that perspective, and you hear from Bhagavad Gita, and you hear about jnana, immediately you'll understand these things. You don't have to go and analyze them deeply like a jnani. And we see that. That a simple devotee, a simple, humble devotee, he may not be a scholar, but he has inherent spiritual knowledge. He understands reality, that there's something called God. I gave this class called Can God Be Blue? And I discussed first the reasonability of God's existence. So I made the point very simply. There's two choices to describe the world here. The two choices to describe the world is it has purpose or meaning, or it's by accident. It's just molecules. But everyone, if you just think a little carefully, this world has purpose, meaning, morality. There's right and wrong. There's design. Things are moving in a very fine-tuned way. There's a regularity of nature. There's purpose. There's meaning. So when you say there's purpose and meaning comes from a conscious entity. It doesn't come from inert molecules. So it means the basis of everything is a conscious entity that gives meaning, truth, rightness, purpose to everything. And it's the basis of everything. And if you have a glimpse of that understanding in your heart, and you want to serve that by serving the voice of that, which is the guru, then if you put yourself in that position, then you'll really understand the importance of the Vedas. So who is eligible to study the Vedas? Even if one's born as a sutra, if a sutra somehow or other gets that inspiration and secreted, that I should surrender to Guru and Krishna, then he'll be the most qualified to understand the Vedas. All the confidential truths in the Upanishads will be, okay, the word parabhakti in the Bhag sloka means shuddha bhakti, pure bhakti. I don't want to elaborate any further on this topic. You should try to understand it yourself. In short, those who have faith in ananya bhakti are eligible to study the Vedas that promote spiritual truth, tattva. And those who have already attained ananya bhakti are eligible to teach the Vedas. Chudamani, then do you people conclude that the Vedas that promote tattva teach only Vaishnav Dharma and no other religion? Vaishnav Das. Dharma is one, not two, and is known as Nitya Dharma or Vaishnav Dharma. So real Dharma, real duty, eternal duty, is the nature of the soul, which is consciousness, part of the supreme conscious, and meant to love God and serve God. That is the Dharma that doesn't change. Brahmin, Vaishya, Kshatriya, woman, man, you know, outcare. All these things are nimittika. They're temporary. But this is, Sri Krishna says, Kalena Nasta Palaya. The Vedas contain instructions on Bhagavad Dharma at the time of annihilation. That message was lost by the influence of time. And at the beginning of the next creation, known as Brahma, I again spoke the same message to Balaji. I'll finish this chapter. The Tattva Upanishad says, I shall now describe to you in brief that ultimate truth that all the Vedas have repeatedly described as the supreme object of attainment. That abode of Vishnu is the only supreme destination. There are also many other evidences from Shastra. By this point in the discussion, the faces of Devi Vidyaratna and his associate were pale and bewildered. The teacher's enthusiasm was shattered. It was nearly 5 o'clock in the afternoon, so everyone agreed to enjoy the day's discussion, and the meeting ended. The Brahmin pundits departed, enthusiastically praising the scholars for Vaishnav. The Vaishnavs left to their respective places, loudly chanting the holy name of Hari. Thus ends the sixth chapter of Jiva Dharma, Nitya Dharma, race and caste. Anybody like to say hello?
Someone want to call me? Anybody?
Anybody like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Bhagavan, that's Gordon Bhaktadas.
Hi, Bo. Govardhan, that was a nice program we had at Gopi Shores. We really
yes, Maharaj.
Thank you for that.
Actually, when he came to temple also, he gave a wonderful class. Everybody loved it, Maharaj.
I can imagine. No, he's really special.
No, very
really
special.
Special soul. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello? Anybody else like to say hello? Anybody else? Okay, we'll end for today. Panchakalpa 3%.